From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. And today I have with me Ivan Butts, our Executive Vice President. How you doing, Ivan?
Good, Bob. How are you doing?
We're doing great. The House of Representatives today is leaving for its six-week summer recess. Not much has been done on the postal front for the first 7 months of this year, other than a oversight hearing back on April 30th. However, a number of bills have been introduced with overwhelming support. Particularly, I refer to House resolutions that, although they're non-binding, indicate a strong sense of Congress, for example, in support of continuation of door delivery, which has 237 co-sponsors. That's H. Res. 23. There's H. Res. 33, which supports the continuation of a public postal service, that is, against privatization of the postal service. That has 259 co-sponsors currently. And lastly, House Resolution 54, which maintains six-day mail delivery, which has a co-sponsorship list of 271 co-sponsors. It's important to note a majority of Congress is 218. So in each and every one of these bills, which is so important to universal service, that an overwhelming majority of the members of the House of Representatives actually support NAPS's position with regard to six-day delivery, door delivery, and against privatization, Ivan.
Yeah, that's correct, Bob. And we're glad to see that these House resolutions that came forward actually early in the session, once we knew we were dealing with the results of the president's task force. So we see that our legislators are firmly behind the continuation of the United States Postal Service serving America by moving its mail. So that's a great thing.
Now, there's another bill that was introduced more recently, H.R. 2382, which would eliminate the pre-funding requirement that was imposed on the Postal Service as a result of the 2006 Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act. That legislation currently has 206 co-sponsors, not quite at the 218 mark, but 179 Democrats co-sponsored that bill, along with 26 Republicans. And that is a substantive type of legislation that, if it were to be enacted, would be binding.
Yes, and that's tremendous legislation with bipartisan support. So that's really great for the Postal Service. And one of the things that I've said is that our legislation that impacts the United States Postal Service is really the true bipartisan legislation that could move through both bodies with relative ease, or should move with relative ease. The United States Postal Service impacts every American household, and that goes to rural areas, suburban areas, and urban areas. So our legislators really are representatives of the entire country mail system. So it should be easy for them to really pass legislation that supports America's Postal Service.
Now, there were two other bills that are of interest to NAPS members. One is, of course, H.R. 597, which deals with providing all EAS personnel rights to appeal to the Merit Systems Protection Board. As again, that's H.R. 597. There are 27 co-sponsors to that bill. And finally, H.R. 2517, which deals with the ability of the Postal Service to transport wine and liquor, and that has 37 co-sponsors. Now, although the enactment of, if these were to be enacted, H.R. 597, H.R. 257, and even H.R. 2382 on the pre-funding issue, that would help the Postal Service and would help NAPS members, but it doesn't solve the underlying problem confronting the Postal Service, which is an issue, one of revenue, and two of providing it with the ability to innovate and set pricing appropriately to reflect the current market.
Yeah, that's correct, Bob. But one big thing is that if we get rid of this debt, or the provision of the 2006 bill that really was the nexus to start this debt issue that the Postal Service has, that would be a good thing. The shipping of beer and wine, those are innovations that are in our postal reform bills, so we would definitely want to see those going through. But you're right, that's not everything that needs to be done, and we still need to get some comprehensive postal reform enacted if we're going to maintain our sustainability as America's Postal Service. But again, those are very good bills and a good start towards it.
Yeah, and also the pre-funding bill. I mean, if you eliminated the pre-funding, if pre-funding did not exist, the Postal Service would have probably close to $50 billion more to have used for innovation, to use for infrastructure, to use to help NAPS members over the past approximately 13 years. That's almost $50 billion
right.
That is sitting in a bank, not sitting in a bank account, but sitting in a government account right now.
Absolutely. And we hope that, you know, if we can repeal that pre-funding, that those funds could come available to the Postal Service to use. Again, you know, pre-funding 75 years out for retirees benefits at 100% is very onerous task for anyone. No one else has to do it. And it really put the Postal Service in a financial bind that it sees itself in addition to declines in mail volume. And then some operational issues that the Postal Service has also had, has all contributed to the financial state that we're in right now.
Now, what we were concerned about up until, I think, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, was that there wouldn't be a budget deal between the Congress and the president, and that, for the most part, the month of September would be crisis. We'd be in crisis mode trying to enact appropriations bills and pass a budget bill before the deadline of the fiscal year September 31st. However, yesterday, the House passed a two-year budget deal with the support of the president, and the Senate will vote on the bill next week, which enables the Senate to pass appropriations bills and to ostensibly have the budget be concluded by the end of the fiscal year, eliminating the crisis, which could conceivably free up time on the floor of the House and on the House agenda to deal with a postal reform bill.
Well, I agree. If everything goes as it's currently going, you're right. That would give them the opportunity, not at the end of the year trying to avoid the government shutdown, but actually give them the opportunity to look at some real legislation, real bipartisan, good legislation that supports America's Postal Service. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. But we'll have to see how the budget goes.
Because we always hear in the month of October that there is a crisis, the government's going to shut down, we don't have time to deal with postal issues. They can't use that excuse.
Absolutely. And you're right. That'll take that off the table. And we would hope that, you know, some of this good legislation that we have out there. And then we still haven't even seen a postal reform bill yet this year. So if we can see a postal reform bill, maybe we'll have enough time to really take a real look at it and take some real action towards putting the Postal Service back on a firm financial footing.
Yeah, now, over the last couple of weeks, both Ivan and myself, as well as other resident officers here, have met with members of Congress to talk about prospects for postal legislation and what it's going to look like. Spoken with Congressman Connolly, we've spoken with Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence, we've spoken with Congressman Mark Meadows, and just yesterday we spoke with the Majority Whip of the House, James Clyburn from South Carolina, about these issues and impressing upon them the importance of enacting postal reform legislation.
Yeah, absolutely. As managers running the United States Postal Service, it's our duty to make sure that we represent the issues that impact America's Postal Service to our legislators at all times, and we'll continue to do that. But I'm also glad that we're having the opportunity to talk about and make some discussions on Title 39 and the law that governs our rights as managers working in the United States Postal Service. Had great conversations with Mr. Conley, and then great conversations with Representative Lawrence also on the other evening, talking about Title 39 and some of our challenges as managers looking for fairness and pay and equality and how we're negotiated with by this Postal Service.
So. And we were joined by our Secretary Treasurer Chuck Mulladore at that event with Ms. Lawrence.
Yes. Yeah. Chuck was there and participated with us in that discussion, brief discussion with the Congresswoman. So very, very positive, though.
You know, now that the Congress is going to be gone for 6 weeks on recess, for a good percentage of that time, they're going to be home at their district. So what advice do you have for NAPS members to sort of join us in this crusade, if you will, to enact comprehensive, meaningful postal reform legislation?
Well, doing this job, I've always stressed and tried to stress the importance of our work in the home district. We do well up here on the Beltway with engaging our leaders and our champions on our issues. And we've gotten better and better each year in the home districts when they're home on their break. So it's important for us to capitalize on the 6 week period that we have to meet with our local legislators to capitalize not only on this moment, but really capitalize on the opportunity to move America's Postal Service forward.
Now, next week, the Senate is going to also adjourn for recess. But before they adjourn for recess, it is likely they will take up the nominations and hopefully confirm the nominations of either two or three new members to the Board of Governors. Ramon Martinez, who's been pending on the Senate floor for a couple of months, as well as Ron Blum. It's unclear what the situation is going to be with John Barger from California, who was more recently approved by the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and reported to the Senate floor. Additionally, two nominees to the Postal Regulatory Commission have been approved by the Senate committee, and they are also pending on the floor. And that would be Ann Fisher, who is a long-term public affairs officer at the PRC, and Ashley Poling, who is a long-term Senate employee and has worked with NAPS. Both Ann and Ashley have worked with NAPS. So it is quite possible that by the end of next week, we will at least have four new Senate-confirmed nominees to the PRC and to the Board of Governors. And that would have a sort of a meaningful impact, a positive impact on postal operations and governance, Ivan, right?
I think the jury's still out on positive, but it's going to have an impact.
It's going to have an impact. We're keeping our powder dry.
Yes, absolutely. But Ashley Poling, as you said, someone we work with numerous times as when she was on the staff for Senator Heidi Heitkamp. She's very knowledgeable about postal issues, very knowledgeable about our NAPS issues as well. And she'll be a great addition to the PRC to provide them leadership and guidance moving forward. I think with our Board of Governors, although we'll be moving towards a quorum with our Board of Governors, I think we'll be challenged with that committee as it's formulated right now.
Yeah, we do know that we're concerned about the high degree of financial services representation on the Board of Governors in contrast to folks with operational experience on the Board of Governors, and whether and how much they know about the history and the culture of a public service and their commitment to a universal service obligation of the Postal Service. And that's where when you say the jury is out, I think that is something that is deeply concerning to us.
Yes, absolutely it is. But like I said, we'll have to wait and see, and surely we'll do our due diligence to be a participant in their processes as we try to not only move the mail, protect America's mail.
Well, that's a great segue when you say participation, and we want to participate. And I want to talk a little bit now about a different type of participation, Ivan. As are the folks listening on know that we successfully litigated before a fact-finding panel our disagreement with the Postal Service over pay and benefits. The Postal Service, unfortunately, rejected the findings of the fact-finding panel. But what I'd like to turn, rather than talk about what's going on right now or moving forward strategically, I would like to talk a little bit about history. Back in 1970, the Postal Service enacted the Postal Reorganization Act. That's many years ago. It's more than a generation ago. And it really provided very limited rights to managerial-level employees. And we were in litigation at that point and towards the late 1970s over the rights of postal supervisors to sort of affect pay changes, whether or not we were treated fairly and so forth. As a result of our direct communication with Congress at that point in 1980, Congress enacted a law which created the current system of consultations. And I just recently pulled up the committee report, the Senate committee report, which sort of explained what the Senate intended when they passed that law, when they passed the law, and it was subsequently signed into law in 1980. And one of the issues that was pointed out in the Senate's explanation was that NAPS should be accorded direct participation, and I'm going to underscore, direct participation in the planning of pay policy schedules and fringe benefits. Now, Ivan, the committee carefully weighed the difference between active participation and consultation in their explanation of what they meant. What's the difference, in your view, between how the Postal Service has interpreted consultation and we believe that the Senate intended and Congress intended us to actively participate in issues affecting pay and benefits and schedules?
Well, first, let me look back a little bit with you, going back to the original law, which when you pull it up and you provided the documentation, our original law, I was shocked that our original section of 10004 was just two paragraphs.
Right.
It was very, very limited, very slim on details, but very slim on facts. So I applaud the legislators who ultimately put together first H.R. 827 and then ultimately S-794 and came up with some meat for our rights under Title 39, Section 10004. Obviously, we know we're having challenges with it. And it's really, we're going to talk a little bit about the participation part. So now, for me, my opinion about participation versus consultation with the Postal Service is this. My belief is that we currently consult with the Postal Service on a monthly basis. And then we have, when it's time for us to renew our pay agreement, we also have consultations with the Postal Service. I do agree with the legislators who pointed that out, that consultation and participation are two different things. And I do agree with that 100%. And I agree with the interpretation as defining participation, meaning precisely that, to have a share in planning and developing the programs. And I think that's one of the biggest flaws that we see in the consultation processes that we use, that we're being consulted with, but we do not have any sharing in the planning and the developing of these programs. And that's our challenge, and that was part of our reasons why we ultimately had to go to fact-finding over pay during this consultation.
Yeah, what is interesting also is that the Senate authors of the fact-finding and the current consultation provision, and I'm going to substitute, when they mean consultation for our folks, they mean active participation. And we should, although they're not synonymous, the terms, that is in fact what they meant as articulated in their explanation of the law. But what they do is they make a distinction between those folks in the upper level of management senior vice presidents, vice presidents, and high-level postal employees mm-hmm. that they consult. They consult right. at a particular level over certain Absolutely. Issues, operational, compensatory issues. Maybe PC's guys consult. I have no idea how that process is done. However, the report indicated that frontline managers who work closely with employees, that means they supervise employees, demands a higher degree of active participation than consultation. So it's the proximity to who you that you're actually a supervisor that provides sort of the rationale for an active level of participation in the process, because to deprive our members of an active voice in the development and pay benefits is to quote the committee report, is unfair, and I underscore that, is unfair. And this is not my word. These are not my words. These are the words of the authors of the legislation, and is not in the best interest of the United States Postal Service.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the creators of this legislation back in 1980 really had their finger on the pulse of where we are right now. We heard saw in the recommendations from the fact-finding panel how they talked about the morale of managers and how the system is broken. This broken system is impacting the morale and motivation of managers. And let me just stop here, make a quick stop here. You guys out here listening to this podcast, you know, you do the work that you have to do to keep America's mail moving, and I appreciate that, and we got to keep driving those efforts. But there are people, take some solace that there are people that understand that if the Postal Service continues to refuse to negotiate with us in good faith and make good faith efforts to address EAS pay, that our morale will not go up. It will continue to go down. But the grace in that is that you guys continue to do this job and not impact America's mail. You continue, although we struggle through this and we're struggling through this, you continue to make this agency one of the most trusted agencies in federal government. So I don't want us to lose focus of that.
And what's important about what you just said, Ivan, is that the Senate indicated and the authors of this legislation indicated that to deny us this active voice that you reference is not in the best interest of the Postal Service for the very reasons you just articulated.
Absolutely. And we can see some of the effects of that. We do see some of the effects of that as we move through the Postal Service today. But again, our supervisors have a high standard of commitment to America and continue to do the job. Although, you know, we're not being fairly dealt with by the leadership of this agency.
And two of the issues that the authors of the section 1004, which you know, that's a citation in Title 39 that concerns the consultative process, said that two specific issues of concern that we have a right to talk about are cost of living adjustments and supervisor pay differentials. And they are explicit references in the committee's explanation of the statute mm-hmm. that references that.
Yes, and I think what I find interesting about that in their legislation, it says, you know, they gave, based on the court appeal that we had in 1979, it came back that the Postal Service needed to just have established fixed differentials to be maintained in the future. So that was the nexus for this 5% SDA that we have, but nowhere in that decision did it say that the Postal Service shouldn't go back, shouldn't look at it, shouldn't review it based on the cost of living adjustments, based on how the trend is going. Again, we're talking about 1979, and we're now 2019.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
We don't have to do the math, but it has a long time. No, okay. I think the bottom line is also in it that and the committee again said this, and I'm almost quoting this, that this whole process assumes the Postmaster General will give the fact finder's decision, which we was rendered in our favor recently, mm-hmm. that it gives serious consideration before reaching a final determination. Absolutely. Ivan, did the Postmaster General give the fact finder's decision serious consideration before rendering a final verdict?
Well, you know, I can't sit here and profess to know the inner thinkings of our Postmaster General, but what I will say is that if we had a report that said, you know, that our pay differential between craft and managers' employees is insufficient and not in accordance with the law, we had a panel that said that our pay is not commensurate with like industries in the private sector. So the panel came up with these recommendations based on their findings that if you would consider that the PMG was taking them into full consideration, we would have seen some change in those processes, whether it was a change in the SDA, a change in the pay, even that we should have gotten based on the current market rates of people getting raises yearly, then we would have seen some changes. So I guess I'm saying without saying the fact that we saw none of that materialize in the final package from the Postal Service, that there was no consideration given towards it.
Okay, with that final note, I just want to remind everyone what Ivan and I were just talking about were historical data based upon what the legislation that created fact-finding reflects and whether or not we in our conversation believes the Postal Service lived up to the intent of Congress. So we will be back next week with another edition of Naps Chat. So everyone, have a great week.
Have a good week.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make me